What a great country to find yourself living in this morning. Even with all of our troubles, with all of our trials, with all of our problems, still the greatest place on planet Earth. Amen. We gather today on this Memorial Day weekend to honor men and women who gave their lives serving this nation. But can I tell you this morning that Memorial Day is more than cookouts? It's more than flags, and it's more than a long weekend. This weekend is a reminder that freedom is costly. Freedom is costly. Someone paid a price so that others could live in freedom. And while we remember the earthly sacrifice that Memorial Day represents, it can point us to the greatest sacrifice ever made, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Father, I pray this morning as we look into your word, as we look at the correlation between the Memorial Day that we celebrate for our soldiers and the Memorial Day that we celebrate Jesus Christ and all that He's done for us. Lord, we worship you today. And we thank you that you first loved us, that you laid down your life for us. And God, for that we're grateful. And we're careful to give you all the praise. I pray, God, for your anointing. I pray this preacher decrease, that you'd increase in me. I pray, Lord, that the message that I feel like you're trying to get across this morning would be articulated, would be communicated to your people. That at the end of this day, Lord, lives would be changed and transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen and amen. A lot of soldiers died, church, so that you could remain free. They're dying today. Well, maybe, I hope they're not dying today, but they're still in danger today for sure. Jesus died so that humanity could be eternally free. The Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That's what Jesus did. Jesus called his disciples friends. He would call you friend today if you know him. But it was a relationship of love for sure, both for him and for his disciples. And they were referred to as the friends of the King. He is our King. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. The friends of the King could not compete with one another for attention or for promotion. They were to be a part of his inner circle. We're to be a part of his team, of his army. They're not to promote themselves. We're not to promote ourselves, but may what we do and what we say promote Jesus Christ. Amen. So how is it possible then for Jesus to command us to love one another? Can true love be commanded? Well, for starters, you have to understand that Christian love is not basically a feeling. It's really an act of the will. It's something you and I choose to do. I choose, because listen, sometimes it's hard to love one another. Sometimes it's just hard. I understand that. But through Christ, we can love one another. And the proof of our love is not in our feelings, but in our actions. Christ didn't just tell everybody how warm and fuzzy he got loving them. He demonstrated it by going to the cross. It's not in our feelings, it's in our actions, even to the extent of laying down our life for Christ and for one another. Jesus laid down his life for both his friends and his enemies. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Again, what we're celebrating this weekend is the reality that freedom is never free. Your salvation, even though it cost you nothing, it cost Jesus His life. At military funerals, and I've done way more of them than I care to admit, but at those funerals, they're always given, the family of the fallen is always given a flag that's folded up. They unfold it. They fold it back up, and it's they don't just fold it up like you would a towel. I mean, it is a process that they go through, and if you've ever watched that, every move is deliberate. Every crease is on purpose, pressed out. That flag represents sacrifice. It represents honor, and it represents remembrance. That's why when we do the national anthem, we always turn and we face the flag and we put our hand over our heart. If you're a military person, you salute the flag. Why? Because of all these things. It represents sacrifice and honor and remembrance. It's our flag. That flag's worth dying for. That flag is worth dying for. Every fold in that flag it reminds us that someone gave everything. See, the cross of Christ is heaven's folded flag for humanity. The cross, it reminds us that sin is serious and that love is costly and that our salvation was purchased with the shed blood of Jesus Christ, just as our freedom has been purchased by the blood of fallen soldiers. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold or silver, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, no higher price, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." This weekend needs to be a reminder to every one of us the cost of freedom. The cost for freedom of speech. I hate to say it, but the freedom to just act like fools sometimes. Say some of the stupidest things. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free." Every freedom has a price tag. Every freedom has a price tag. Soldiers paid for national freedom. Jesus paid for spiritual freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We often enjoy the blessings that we did not personally earn because someone else sacrificed. There's a cemetery called Arlington Cemetery. Show this picture. I want you to just look at that for a moment. I want you to think about that. There's no way that we could capture the entirety, the vastness of what that represents. But when you look at that, it's way more than headstones and straight lines. Row upon row of white headstones stretch across the hills. Every stone tells a story. There is written on every one of those stones a story. Every one of those stones represents someone that had dreams. Every one of them represents someone who has a family. And every one of those stones represents someone who was looking for and had a future. But they answered a call to defend the freedoms that we enjoy in America. And they paid the ultimate price. They all gave it away for others. They didn't know you probably. Certainly probably didn't know me. But they knew the cause. They knew the cause. They knew what they were fighting for. They knew when they signed up the potential loss of life. There's another marker. Calvary tells the story of Jesus. He was crowned with thorns. He had nails in his hands. He was pierced in his side. He was beaten beyond recognition. Why? For the freedom from sin for you and I. He willingly laid down his life for you and I. And Isaiah 53 and verse 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities." See, Jesus fought the greatest battle ever fought. And in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, I didn't have the whole thing, I just put part of it. It says, having nailed it to the cross, what? Your sin, he nailed it to the cross. Having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed, he disarmed principalities and he disarmed the powers. He took it away. The greatest battle was not fought on foreign soil. It was fought at Calvary. You and I are here today in freedom because of soldiers. We're here today with an expectation of a new home in glory because of what Christ did for you and I. Jesus battled sin, he battled death, he battled hell, he battled Satan himself, and he won. Don't ever let anybody tell you any different. He won. He won. We've probably all heard stories of soldiers who threw themselves on grenades to save their fellow soldiers. One man absorbs the blast so that the rest of them could live. That's heroism. That's sacrifice. And that's what Jesus did spiritually for you and I on the cross. The judgment of sin was coming towards you and I. But Jesus stepped in our place. Can we show this video? Bill, kill them lights, would you?
Justice must fall, the sentence must be passed. And the king's own daughter was brought in front of the entire kingdom. And when she got to the front, she was laid over an executioner's table. She was tied to the table. The executioner ripped open the back of her shirt and stepped back. But just as the executioner lifted his whip to issue the first lash, the king stood up from his throne and he yelled, "Stop!" Everyone was in dismay. Silently, the king walked forward, bent over his daughter, wrapped his body around his daughter on his stomach, ripped the shirt off of his own back, looked back at the executioner and said, "Now hit her." The executioner objected, "Hey, I can't hit her without hitting you. Now hit her." 40 lashes fell upon the back of the king over the back of his daughter. And the king died, and the girl was free. That was done for you. Because God is just, punishment for sin had to be paid. But because God is love, he chose to make that payment himself. And here's the good news. What you must understand is that when Jesus hung on that bloody cross and he pushed up on his nail-pierced hands, choking to death on his own blood, his final words through his choking breath were the words, "It is finished." He did not cry out, "I am finished." His words were, "It is finished." And if he's not finished, you're not finished. This illustration I'm about to give you.
Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God, say, but God. I mean, you need to understand but God in your life. But God demonstrated. He didn't just talk about it. He didn't just get warm, fuzzy feelings. God demonstrated his own love towards you and I, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ did exactly what this guy was talking about in this video. Christ took your place. You and I are guilty, but he took our place. He put himself between us and the executioner. The highest expression of human love is when someone gives his or her life so that another person can continue to live. People are able to understand sacrificial love even though it's rarely practiced. But when you receive it, you understand it. It means something to you. This kind of sacrificial gesture is almost always dependent upon a relationship that already exists between the one sacrificing and the one that's receiving the benefit. Think about someone giving a body part, a kidney, whatever, so that you may live. That's a high sacrifice. That's a costly sacrifice. People don't readily die for one another, but God, his love stands in stark contrast even to the deepest expressions of human love, because God showed his great love for us by sending his son to die for us while we were still sinners. The Bible says, while we were yet his enemy, Christ died for us. His death is the highest manifestation of God's love for you and I. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish. That's love beyond measure. And while we were rebellious, despicable, Christ died for us so that we could come to God, so that we could find peace with him, and so that we could become the heirs of the promise of God. He's preparing a place for us in heaven right now. He didn't die so that we could be made lovable. He did not die so that we could be made lovable. Christ died because he already loved us, and because he wanted to bring us closer to himself. Memorial Day is all about remembrance. If you were here last Sunday, we had a little remembrance celebration right here on Sunday. We celebrated communion. Luke chapter 22 and verse 19 says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Do what? Celebrate communion. Observe what Christ did for us. It's our memorial day. Memorial Day calls a nation to remember the price that was paid by men and women who gave their life so that we would have ours. Communion calls the church to remember. Communion calls the church to remember. Never forget the nails. Never forget the cross and what it represents. Oh, church, don't forget the empty tomb. Don't forget about the empty tomb. And don't forget about the blood that washes white as snow. Though my sin be as scarlet, I shall be white as snow. Why? Because of the blood. Sometimes old graves become neglected because no one visits them anymore. Weeds grow, names fade. People have sadly forgotten even the cross. It's been reduced to a piece of jewelry, and if you're wearing a cross, I'm not busting your chops. I love the symbolism of wearing a cross. But if it's just a piece of jewelry, if it's not a reminder, a memorial of what Christ has done for us, then it's really just a piece of fine jewelry. We remember celebrities. We remember athletes. Kyle Busch, famous race car driver, passed away this week. They're remembering him today. I wish that we could go to some great lengths like what they're going to honor a man that was a car driver. I wish we could learn to celebrate the man, Christ Jesus, for what he's done for us. I don't know Kyle Busch, and I'm not demeaning him in any way. I'm not trying to take away. I'm just saying we need to celebrate the King. We remember celebrities. We even remember athletes. We remember entertainment. But many people forget about Jesus. The cross should never become an abandoned memorial in our hearts. If a soldier gave his life for you, how much more should we honor the sacrifice of what he has done for us and not do some of the things. I don't know about the rest of you, but my dad was in World War II. Chased Rommel across North Africa and Italy and all that country. He was in the Army Air Corps before they even had the Air Force. It was an Army Air Corps. He didn't talk a whole lot about it, but what he did say, I was glad I wasn't there. Men and women that went to a place called Vietnam. People from our own country ridiculing them. Saying all kind of vile things. All the while enjoying the liberties and the freedoms that those men and women died to protect so they could say that kind of stupid nonsense. We should not dishonor their sacrifice by living foolishly and carelessly. How much more then should we live and respond to what Christ has done for us? 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves." Jesus didn't die to make you and I religious. He didn't die to just make us religious. He died to save us because we needed saving. Hello? We needed to be saved. Today, there are people, maybe even here today, who respect Jesus but don't know Him. I'll let that sink in just for a minute. People who respect Jesus but don't really know Him. There might even be people here or watching by way of the internet this morning that believe in God, but they've never surrendered. There might be people here this morning that attend church, but they've never really been born again. Coming to church won't save you. Coming to church won't make you any more a Christian than sitting out in your garage will make you an automobile. Just won't work. There's got to be some kind of a commitment. Freedom in America is wonderful. We celebrate it. 250 years we're celebrating this year of freedom. 250 years. Freedom in America is wonderful, but freedom from sin's eternal. Hello. Freedom from sin is eternal. John chapter 8 and verse 36, therefore if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Kathy, come to the piano, would you? How many of you have seen memorials, military memorials, and sometimes you see combat boots? And you'll see rifle, and you see a helmet, all of them arranged together. It symbolizes a fallen soldier. It symbolizes someone that paid the ultimate price for you and I. Christianity has a symbol unlike any other religion. It's not an occupied grave. Not a dead founder. It's an empty tomb. It's an empty tomb. He's not there. He died, but He rose again. He died, but He rose again, and because He lives, sin can be forgiven. Lives can change. Hope is alive and heaven is real. Today, as we honor those who died for our nation, my prayer is, will you honor the one who died for your soul? Jesus paid the ultimate price for your salvation. Salvation is not automatic. You have to receive it by faith. It's a step of faith. It's an act of faith. Maybe you're here today and you need forgiveness. Maybe you're here today and you need peace. Maybe you need freedom from sin. Well, today is that day. I want to share rows of white crosses, white headstones remind us that freedom costs lives, but one rugged cross reminds us that eternal freedom costs the blood of the Son of God. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. I want you to think about these things. I want you to think about the reality that freedom is never free. Someone always pays the price. I want you to think about the reality that the cross is heaven's memorial of sacrifice. Some gave their lives for our nation, but Jesus gave His life for our salvation. Memorial Day, this weekend, remembers the fallen. Communion remembers the Savior. And the empty tomb is Christ's victory and memorial. That picture that I showed you of Arlington National Cemetery, those represented somebody's son or daughter, husband or wife, friend. Somebody's son, somebody's daughter died so you could wave that flag freely. Old Glory. God's son died so you and I can stand, church, before him freely and forgiven. Thousands gave their life so that America could live in freedom. But only one man gave his life so that your soul could live in heaven forever. Every grave that you saw at Arlington reminds us that freedom is costly. But Calvary reminds us how much God loves us. Here's the greatest news of all. The cross wasn't just for the world. The cross was for you. The cross was for you. The cross was for me. The cross was for us. The cross was for all the world. For God so loved the world, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, people are praying this morning. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe, put into action your heart, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's that simple. It's that simple. Maybe you're watching today by way of the internet. Something of this has resonated within you and you say, man, I wish I was in church today. I'd like to get saved. Listen, you don't have to be in church to get saved. You can get saved right there watching your computer, your telephone, your TV, whatever you're watching this broadcast on. If you'll just raise your hand and say, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. Maybe you're here in this place today and you say, pastor, I need to commit my life to Jesus Christ. I need to surrender my life to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want Memorial Day to be a day that I can remember for what Jesus Christ has done for me. Today I'm going to surrender my life to Jesus. If that's you today and you say, preacher, I would like for you to pray for me because I want to receive Jesus. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up. I see your hand. Anybody else? Say, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. Anybody else today? Anybody else? Maybe today you need to recommit, rededicate your life. Life happened. Stuff got in the way. You made bad choices. Find yourself this morning a long ways from where God would have you to be. Maybe today you'd like to have a fresh start. Oh, I'll tell you, the Bible says His mercies are new every morning. And today is your day. If that's you today, and you say, Pastor, I'd just like a brand new start. I'd like to have the slate wiped clean so that I could start all over again today, fresh and new. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you today. Yes, 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 yes. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. I want to start brand new. I'm going to ask you to get up and come. If you raised your hand, I want you to get up and come right now. Come on.
Jesus, come on. You are Lord.
Line right up here, right across the front. Come on. Come on.
I give you all my heart.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, you are Lord.
Father, we thank you for this day.
I surrender every part. Wash me white as snow.
Lord, wash us white as snow right now in Jesus' name.
Let your river flow.
Flow through us, O God. Flow through this place, Lord.
Jesus, you are Lord.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Take complete control.
It's going to be all right. Jesus is still on the throne. He's still on the throne. Sweetheart, He loves you so much that He died just for you. He died for the whole world, but He died for Sadie. Amen? And for Daddy. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Hey, would you guys just pray this prayer with me? Say, Dear Lord, I thank you for Memorial Day.
Help me to remember
the price that you paid.
That I could stand
and receive you
afresh
and new.
That you will wash me
white as snow.
Though
my sin
be as scarlet.
You said
I'd be white as snow.
Forgive me.
Renew me.
Write my name.
In
the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'll serve you.
From
this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. If you prayed that prayer.
Hallelujah.
If you prayed that prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Let these guys. I want to pray with you guys in just a minute. But I want to close with this prayer. Lord, we thank you today for the ultimate sacrifice that you made on the cross. Thank you for loving us enough to die for our sins and to rise again. Today we remember not only the fallen soldiers of our nation, but the Savior who gave His life for the world. Ever draw our hearts to you, Lord. Save us, restore, and heal, and set your people free. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. God go with you. We'll see you back here tonight at 6 o'clock. If you're coming to the barbecue tomorrow, it's at 12 o'clock. Bring a chair, bring a salad or a dessert. Bring your friend or your neighbor. Amen. God bless you.